The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Hello, welcome to the Ain't No Fang Podcast with Arizona Sports. My name is Alex Weiner, and I cover the D-backs for ArizonaSports.com. And it is Jordan Montgomery Day in Arizona, well, in San Francisco, but the Diamondbacks are going to be at Oracle Park for quite an interesting matchup, considering it will be Jordan Montgomery for the D-backs versus Blake Snell of the Giants, and, you know, two of the biggest named free agents of the offseason, both waited till the very last minute, and in Jordan's case, after the last minute, to sign with their respective teams. Snell, a few starts in. Montgomery, this will be his first one after a couple of starts in Reno, so that will be something to look forward to. But as we record this, we are also 20 games into the 2024 season, so we have some takeaways. It's still an early sample size, but we have, you know, 3 weeks of a sample size at this point. And not only that, but we will also have a conversation later with the manager of the AAA Reno Aces, Blake Lawley, who has gotten to watch Jordan Montgomery's first couple of starts as a member of the Arizona organization. Plus, we'll have some notes on some other younger players. How's Slade Ciccone looking? How's Justin Martinez look before he made his debut with the Diamondbacks this season a couple days ago against the Chicago Cubs? Blaze Alexander, what kind of lessons have we learned about him early this season and from where he was last year in AAA? So all of that and more today on the show, but let's start off with takeaways, considering it has been 20 games. The Diamondbacks are 9-11. That's not entirely where they would like to be, of course, 20 games into the season. It's been a little up and down, to put it lightly. I mean, this is a team that feels like it could be much better than 9-11 record, but it's also a team that has made mistakes that we haven't entirely expected. So we'll have like a list of five here, of five things to take away from the first 20 games of the season. The first one, the injuries are taking a toll on this team right now. And Mike Hazen this week, he went on air, he went on Wolf and Luke, and he said injuries are not an excuse. Every team has them. However, they having to deal with injuries to starting center field, starting shortstop, closer in the starting rotation, missed a couple of, you know, Gabriel Moreno was scratched from a couple of games last week or this past week. So those are premium positions to not have your main guys at. And we have especially seen that at shortstop, how that can impact the team. Because what we've seen there, you know, Blaze Alexander offensively has looked really good, had some early hiccups that cost them a game or two early on, has kind of gotten better as we've gone along here, and he's gotten more comfortable as a big leaguer. You know, Jace Peterson has one hit at this point, and he has started a few games against right-handed pitching. So that is a position, especially when you look defensively and how stable they are and how much of a leader that Perdomo has grown into, that is a big deal. And not only Perdomo being out, but also Jordan Lawler being out for a while, needing thumb surgery to repair a UCL. He would have been somebody who could potentially have an impact on this team and getting that opportunity with Perdomo down. Instead, you're kind of looking at your third, fourth, fifth options there at shortstops. Yes, everybody has injuries, but that is a pretty significant spot to lose and not one that they had to deal with much last year. Last year, Nick Ahmed and Geraldo Perdomo were there, and defensively, they were both pretty solid in their spots there, and that's not something that they've necessarily had to start this season. The bullpen has been a concern, and that's certainly one of the takeaways, but at the same time, you know, you lose the closer. We saw what happened last year when they had a closer. Everybody kind of fell into certain roles. At the same time, guys kind of have to perform better. Guys going to have to make better pitches. And for Kevin Ginkle so far, it's been pretty good, although the wild pitch and that kind of strange game that they had no business losing but ended up losing after that, that certainly cost him. That was two blown saves now this season for Ginkle, who has otherwise been pretty dang good. Ryan Thompson has been very good, but he hasn't pitched a ton considering the situations they've been in. Not a lot of one-run leads in the eighth inning that they've had to put him into. And so you've seen a lot more innings from guys like Scott McGuff or Bryce Jarvis or Miguel Castro and guys though, you know, McGuff was hurt down the stretch last year and Jarvis and Castro kind of had lesser roles when that bullpen was so good. Jarvis has shown a lot to like, and even Castro has been a little bit better. He had a huge game against the Cubs when they went up 12-11 or when they won 12-11. But, you know, it's a bullpen that has had its cracks early, and certainly the injury to Paul Sewald plays a role in that. Starting rotation wise, you're going to have this weekend Montgomery, Gallen, Kelly. That's as good as it gets, really. We'll see what happens to Ryan Nelson. As we were recording this, we do not know entirely every detail about his injury. He got hit with a comebacker on Thursday night against the Giants, exited the game after two innings, which a shame because he had been throwing really well. I mean, his best start of the season was right before that against the Cardinals, And then against the Giants, a couple scoreless innings, he has to come out of the game. So the injuries, again, they keep piling up. It's not just at the major league level, but it's also at the minor league level with Lawler and a few prospects in the lower levels. But when you look at the upper levels and the major league team, they have definitely played a role in this. You know, looking at the defense, it still should not be as inconsistent as it has been. They have 16 errors in 20 games. That's third most in the major leagues behind Boston and Oakland, who aren't expected to have tremendous defenses this season. Minus one outs above average, that ranks 20th. This is not a defense that should be 20th. And under manager Torrey Lovello, picking up the baseball, securing the baseball, that has been such a calling card for them, and that's a huge reason why they made the playoffs last year. They were second in the league in OAA. They had the fewest errors in baseball. They had 56 errors in 162 games, and right now they have 16 in 20 games. I mean, it's a massive difference when you talk about winning the margins, doing the little things right that they were able to do last season to get themselves in that position. This year, we've seen some recent struggles from Eugenio Suarez at third base, and he's a good defensive player. And when you watch his mechanics and you watch his footwork, I mean, it looks as textbook as it can get, but a couple of errors the other day. I think he has three other errors on the season already. The left side of just the diamond itself, you know, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has had a couple of mishaps out in left field at this point. The corners, as far as reading the bounces off the corners, that's tricky. At Chase Field, it's as tricky as any ballpark in the league to be able to read those bounces off those corners. But at the same time, these are guys trained in order to do that. And so for the left side of the diamond, really, to have as many defensive problems as it has had, that has obviously been a hamper to what they've been able to do as far as picking up these wins early in the season. Let's go to the offense, because early in these games, it's been pretty good. Best first inning offense in the major leagues. They have four games already where they've had a five spot. Obviously, they had the 14 run inning against the Colorado Rockies on opening day, but they've gone off on certain innings after that as well. It's just late in games where there's been a pretty decent drop off. And talking to their hitting coach Joe Mather this week, his message was, it'll turn. A lot of guys are getting hot early in these games, and then nothing is really happening late in these games. He expects the ebbs and flows of hitting to kind of overrule that. But at the same time, the execution just hasn't been there as far as the situational hitting, getting guys across. They're getting outscored by a lot late in these games. And so kind of going over where they are, I mean, when you look at just the final three innings plus extras, so the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and extra innings this year, the Diamondbacks right now as a team are hitting 126. That's last in baseball by a decent margin. The Chicago White Sox, who have had a disastrous year as far as the injuries and what their major league roster looks like compared to everybody else, they're 40 points better than the Diamondbacks were. And so, yeah, the expected on base is supposed to be a lot better than it is with Arizona, but they're not hitting the ball particularly hard late in these games. And sure, maybe that's just a strange 20-game sample size where the next 20 games there could be some flip around. But at the same time, it's pretty jarring to look at that compared to a lot of the other numbers in the league and how certain individuals are playing late in these games. They had that big moment against the Cubs this past week where Cattell goes yard, they get it to the 10th, Randall Grichuk comes in against a lefty, and then they win the game. But really, other than that, there haven't been a ton of late-game heroics for them. Late-game execution has been a problem, and it's been a problem defensively, it's been a problem with the pitching, and it's been a problem with the hitting. And, you know, that's why you look at a team like the Diamondbacks who, you know, when you look at a lot of their games, I think in 7 of their 11 losses, they either had the lead or were tied in the 6th inning or later. It feels like a couple of other breaks happen and they could have 12 wins right now. I mean, they're 2 games under 500 with all the injuries, with a tough early season schedule. On that hand, it's like, oh, okay, that's not too bad. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, but they're letting games go that they should be winning. So it's sort of like the push and pull kind of, is this a good sign or is this worrisome that, you know, you look in September and they're in a wild card race or in a division race and, oh, shoot, remember those games in April that they look like slipped away? Those are coming back to haunt. So 1, the injuries have taken a toll. 2, the defense has not been as sharp. 3, the hitting late in games has not been particularly good. But a couple of positives. Cattell Marte has been outstanding for the Diamondbacks this season. 5 home runs already. He's got an OPS of 954. I mean, it's kind of amazing to hit home runs on back-to-back pitches, which he was able to do. That 9th inning homer against the Cubs, which he didn't even think was going to get out. And he had a flex after the game about, look how strong I am to be able to get a ball with a 17-degree launch angle out over the fence and not like in the corners like to right center field. Unbelievable home run. And then the next pitch he sees to lead off the next game for the Diamondbacks in the top of the first and the bottom of the first, home run, absolute no doubt at left field. So one was from the left side, one was from the right side. He's been all over the place for this offense. And there's only 25 players in baseball with five home runs at this point in the season. And among those, he is second in runs with 20, just behind Mookie Betts, who leads the league in like almost everything at this point. So yeah, Marte is definitely making his case as far as getting himself, you know, back in, you know, all-star consideration, back in Silver Slugger consideration, back in, you know, potential MVP votes consideration. It's super, super early, but that's the kind of tear that we've been talking about with him. And it dates back to what he did in the postseason. It dates back to what he did in spring training when he was clearly hitting the ball harder than everybody else on the team. And that's what we've seen early on this year. And then kind of staying in some of the early season positives, the top of the rotation has been fantastic. Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have done everything that they've needed to do in order to keep their team in games, to try to win these games. Both those guys kind of linked as far as huge workloads last year, slowly ramped up in spring training. It's like, okay, what are we going to see from them early in the season? And they have been pretty dang sharp. So, you know, with Gallen, they're each four games in. And with Gallen, he left all four games with a lead. He's at a 1.64 ERA right now and leading the league in FIP, leading the league in ERA plus. He still hasn't feel like he's been at his best either. So who knows, maybe we see a run like he went on in 2022 when he had that scoreless streak, if he gets that rhythm that he's looking for. But he has been as advertised to start the season, and so has Kelly. So now that we get Montgomery into the mix, we'll see exactly how Montgomery looks early on. It may take a few starts, but he is somebody who could help really kind of level out the rotation. Brandon Fott had a great last start too. I know Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be out at least until it looks like early June. He's on the 60-day IL, so he can't come back until late May anyway, but early June looks like it's the target for that. So obviously that hurts, and we'll see what happens with Ryan Nelson. But at least with those top four, you can see some pretty decent stability there, and that would help out a ton when they're looking to get guys back to help out the bullpen, to help out the lineup, to help out the defense. Last one here I had for you is Corbin Carroll, because it's been a slow start for him offensively. And it's not simply, you know, he's crushing the ball and it's just not happening for him. I think it's 83 exit velocity for him right now. It hasn't looked amazing. He's getting pitched pretty tough, and that's to be expected with somebody who had such an unbelievable year that he had last year. He's not getting a ton of mistakes to drive, really. He's still hitting the ball hard opposite field. He's hitting lefties pretty well. It's against righties, and he's not particularly driving the ball to the pull side. Mather this week says it feels like the approach is good. He's striking out a lot less. He's walking more. He's still getting on base a ton. So he's providing a lot of value in that sense. But it just feels like it hasn't been there so far for him as far as being a power threat. And that's something to look for as we continue to go. Maybe it's just 20 games, and maybe for 100 games of the season, he will be one of the five best offensive players in baseball. But that's just the start that we've had to see so far, and the start that the Diamondbacks have had to deal with. And that's something that we'll need to turn around if this team is going to hit the peak that they want to hit. So those are five takeaways to start the season so far. Obviously, it's a big day for the Diamondbacks. Montgomery is going to make his start. Big series against division rival. They dropped the first one on Thursday night, but they have Montgomery, Gallen, Kelly going these next three games. So definitely a lot to watch out for. Now, going to my conversation with Blake Lawley as we set up Montgomery in AAA and what to look for some of the younger guys, who some of whom are on the major league team, some of whom are expected to make at least a contribution at some point this season with the major league team.
I guess starting with Jordan, since he's starting so soon at this point, what was the experience like managing him, given sort of the odd circumstances around his free agency and why he was there?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, he just, you know, he signed with us, and then he came here to get a couple build-ups, and, you know, it was, you know, he looks ready. He's ready to go. And, you know, we had him for two starts, and it was great. It really was.
What's the process like for you to manage either a veteran coming back on a rehab assignment, or in this case, sort of what's the kind of the communication like between you and Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much in communication every day anyways with their team, our team, stuff like that. So it's really no different. It's just, you know, he was supposed to get a couple starts, and we were trying to build his pitches, and we were just in communication about that. And other than that, Jordan just went out and threw the ball and tried to get out. So,
how did he look in those couple of starts? You mentioned he looked ready. He got his pitch counts up, but as far as what he was trying to work on and the sharpness of it, how did you think that he looked?
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. You know, he had command of the zone. I know he was, you know, sinking it and cutting it and throwing curveballs in there for strikes and then down below the zone. I thought he had all of his mix. And, you know, it was his first two times on the mound. So, you know, I know the first time he was, you know, getting his feet wet a little bit. But talked to him both times after both starts, and he's ready to go.
Did he mention anything about it feeling different pitching in Reno compared to, you know, sea level?
No, I think he's a – no. I've learned that, you know, major league guys that are good pitchers, I don't think they really care where they pitch. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even brought up, so I didn't even think about that.
Cool. Kind of going on to some of the younger players there, Jorge Barroza, got to look at him quickly in Arizona. He came up with a couple of huge hits. And how has he kind of handled the transition back to Reno, and how has he kind of held up in these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he, you know, the guys, they're all good. Whenever they come down, they're ready to work. They know to go back up, they got to work hard and perform on the field. So he showed up day one ready to do that. And, I mean, it's a really good young player that has a great future.
What steps have you seen him take offensively from, you know, when he got to Reno and now here, having been there for more than a year now?
Yeah, just controlling his zone. I think, you know, I would use the word, he was more excited when he first got here. Mm-hmm. So there tended to be some more chase. I mean, everyone's going to chase at some points, but I think he's done a much better job of understanding what he handles and getting a good pitch to, you know, put the right part of the bat on it. And I think that's why you've seen the offensive progression with him.
Yeah, it was fun getting to meet him when he made his debut and how excited he was about the opportunity. Moving on to some younger pitching, Justin Martinez, you know, got back to the Diamondbacks and made a season debut with them yesterday. Everything went pretty well. His command looked good. What kind of steps have you seen as far as his control in the zone?
Yeah, I mean, big steps. He goes right after guys. He's got, you know, three pitch mix, and they all can be devastating at times. And he's kind of gotten away from the guy that sprays it, and he knows what he's trying to do with each pitch, and he's doing it. He's made big, big strides. He was absolutely dominant here when he was here.
What is sort of the key to those strides, you think? You think it's more so on the mental side, or is there any particular drills that he has been able to do? Is it just reps at this level?
Yeah, I mean, I think experience and reps, you know, are probably understated most of the times. I think that's probably the number one thing. I know the work he put in with the pitching coaches, Doug Drabek and Jeff Vaginero, they cleaned some things up and got the arm on time. And I think Justin himself just developing and growing in the game and kind of starting to read what hitters are doing with what he's throwing up there. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things he's learning is that he really doesn't have to change it until the hitter changes. I think sometimes you play guessing games with the hitter. And when you got that kind of stuff, you don't have to make a lot of adjustments if you're not seeing one from them.
Mm-hmm. What was his reaction when he was told he's going back up to the major leagues for another opportunity?
Yeah, happy as can be. Yeah, happy and told me he was ready. And I told him I thought he was ready to go get him.
Cool. Into the rotation, some pretty big performances so far for some of the young guys. Slade Ciccone was somebody who was competing for a rotation spot in Arizona's starting five. How has he looked? I know he had a pretty good start the other day.
Yeah, had a really good start the other day. Slade's throwing the ball very well. You know, he showed really good fastball and slider. He can bring it back even more with the slow curveball, and he also has a changeup. So he's got a four pitch mix. He's looked great. He's attacked hitters. It's definitely someone that I think you'll see there at some point this year helping that team. But until then, I know he's probably going to be really, really good for us.
What objectives did he go down with at the start of the season?
Just to constantly get better, refine all his pitches. Command is a thing, and I don't mean I don't mean walks. I mean like command with your within the strike zone and understand where he's going and stuff like that. And you know, we're seeing all those steps in the right direction. So you know, I'm watching a guy that's getting better every single start, and it's like I said, it's gonna be really good to when he's able to get back up there and help those guys.
Mm-hmm. And Christian Mena is someone who you know joined the organization this offseason. He turned a lot of heads during spring training a lot and during live BP. Bullpens when he kind of jumped onto the field. Early season impressions for him as he kind of gets his feet wet in this organization.
Yeah, it's kind of been hard not to really like him so far. I mean, he's been great. He's a strike thrower. I love his slider. He seems to keep guys off balance. He can get his strikeout when he needs it. He's put together some really nice outings for us so far. You know, I just have a limited time with him as well, mm-hmm. but it's been really good.
Going to somebody who's spent the entire season with the Diamondbacks so far, but you know, you certainly spent a lot of time with him last year, Blaze Alexander. Really good offensive start for him. Looks pretty comfortable going to all fields. Defensively, some hiccups early, but that's improved as we've gone along here. When you had him last year, I know he's hurt for a little bit, but I guess what strides did you see him take from an offensive standpoint to let him have the success he's having now?
Yeah, I don't mean to repeat myself, but probably the same as Barossa, you know, swinging at better pitches. I mean, Blaze has that tool set that you don't find in players. I mean, there's really not one thing he can't do on the field. And, you know, when you get a young player like that, it's refining that. And it's seeing how we as coaches can help him have those tools show up more consistently on a daily basis. And I mean, he just put together good at bats after good at bats here. Became a good offensive player and not just a player, but like an offensive threat. And you're seeing that to start the year in the major leagues. Like he can be exciting. There's not much he can't do.
And then defensively, you know, he has, I guess all spring training, he was a standout out there. What do you think is key for a younger player kind of making that step, whether it's from AA to AAA or AAA to the major leagues to kind of stay within themselves and make the routine play that they know they can do?
Well, you know, the game's a little faster at every level, but Blaze is fine with that. I think, you know, I don't look too much into that. I think, you know, whether you go from single A to high A, from high A to double A to triple A to the big leagues, there's always like a little settle-in period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's probably a little bit more relaxed when he wakes up every morning than he was the day before. And when that starts to happen, I think some of those mistakes of him just maybe being excited are going to really go away. Because, like I said, he can really catch the ball. He can throw the ball. He's going to be a great player in that league for a while.
Terrific. Thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks so much to Blake Lawley for joining us. The Diamondbacks continue their series in San Francisco Friday, Saturday, Sunday before they hit the road, St. Louis, and then Seattle before they come back to Chase Field. So definitely will be a telling road trip given the strength of their opponents. Jordan Montgomery entering the rotation. What does it look like now? Lots to watch out for. So keep it locked in on Arizona Sports. And thanks so much for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast